We have before us this morning one of the most vivid and insightful accounts of the Lord's appearance after his resurrection. Luke is the only one of the four gospel writers to include this story. It's a story that reveals not only something about who we are, but how Jesus opens our eyes to who he is and how we can come to know him. The journey to Emmaus is both literal and a spiritual journey. On one hand, it recounts the story of two disciples who, after the crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord, walked 7 miles from Jerusalem to their village of Emmaus. On the other hand, it outlines for us the journey that we all take from not recognizing Jesus to understanding what the gospel says about him to recognizing who he is, and finally, to our giving witness to what we've experienced. Notice with me, as we celebrate our Lord's resurrection this morning, 5 things from this passage. The first thing that I'd have you note is that Jesus seeks us. Although the disciples knew who he was, they didn't recognize him. They knew a lot about him. They had witnessed all the things that had happened in and around Jerusalem. They heard, no doubt, on many occasions, things that Jesus had testified about himself. Yet, they were not able to recognize Jesus for who he was when they met him. And there are probably several reasons why they didn't recognize him. And the first would probably and most obviously be because they were grieving. Events had not happened the way they expected them to happen. Their world had been turned upside down, and they were heartbroken that Jesus was dead. And with that, they probably felt very empty and very lost. That would be appropriate. Maybe they felt abandoned by God and that they were somehow being punished. It's probable that they were even questioning everything they had heard about Jesus and what they thought they had believed. They might have even been feeling angry at God. Any or all of those feelings would not be wrong. I mean, in fact, they're very human. It's all a part of the grieving process, of grieving for a loved one or trying to cope with the death of a dream. Grief can blind you and keep you from seeing clearly. They had a preconceived idea of who Jesus was. They had unmet expectations of what he had come to do and how he should do it. But when things did not turn out like they thought they should, maybe they dismissed the whole thing as a mere failure or a misplaced hope. But what we have to remember, family, is this. God always has a plan. And it's not a plan to harm us. Listen, we're not always privy to the plan that God has. When things don't turn out the way we expect, instead of giving up and admitting defeat, perhaps we should be seeing things different. Maybe it would be wise to understand that maybe God just does things that we simply don't understand. I think the second reason why they did not recognize him is because God didn't want them to recognize him. Now, hear me out. The original language conveys the sense that they were being kept from recognizing him because God had a purpose in blinding their eyes from reality. Now, I don't think that Jesus was being cruel here. His gradual revelation of himself allowed them to learn certain lessons about trusting God's promises. The disciples had been told about all of these events many, many times, but they hadn't believed them. I think another reason why they couldn't recognize or see him is because they had little faith. They had heard the reports from the women who went to the tomb. They had seen the empty tomb for themselves, and yet they had not believed. The supernatural workings of God to raise Jesus from the dead was outside their paradigm. They had never seriously considered who Jesus was. And we need to be careful not to make the same mistake, to discount what God had done simply because we can't fully explain or understand it. While God uses natural things to accomplish his will, he also does things that we cannot explain nor understand. These two disciples knew something had happened, but it was beyond their level of faith to see things as they truly were. Just because they knew Jesus didn't mean they knew Jesus. Just because they could see him does not mean they could see who he was. Many people today know who Jesus is. They've heard about him. They read about him, use his name. They even claim to know him. But they would not recognize him if they saw him. Their eyes had not been opened. Knowing about him and knowing him are two completely different things. The second thing I want you to notice from this passage is that Jesus opened their eyes. Verse 27 says, "Then beginning with Moses and from all the prophets, Jesus interpreted them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures." Now, while we do not know the specific passages Jesus used, we know he used them to open them to the scriptures, for them to view all of scripture, the Old Testament and all, which pointed him as the fulfillment of the prophecies. If we were to speculate, perhaps Jesus began in Genesis 3:15, where God cursed the serpent, "I will put hostility between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed, and he will strike your head and he will strike his heel." From there, maybe he pointed them to Deuteronomy 18:15, which said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own brothers, and you must listen to him." From there, as they walked, perhaps he went to Isaiah 7:14, where God said, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive, have a son, and name him Emmanuel." From there, Jesus could have taken them to Isaiah 53:3. "He was despised and rejected by man, a man of suffering who knew what sickness was. He was like one people turned away from. He was despised and we did not value him." Perhaps he went on to Isaiah 53:7. "He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb, he was led to the slaughter. Like a sheep silent before his shearers, he did not open his mouth." He could have quoted Zechariah 12:10. "Then I will pour out a spirit of grace and prayer on the house of David and the residents of Jerusalem, and they will look at me whom they have pierced. They will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child and weep bitterly for him as one weeps for a firstborn." We know that Jesus walked with them through the entirety of the revelation to show and to give witness to who he was and why he had come and why it was necessary. Jesus wanted them to see that if they would only believe what the scriptures say about him, they would understand why he came and why he had to suffer. And then they would know who he was. Scripture gives testimony of who Jesus is. And he uses it today to open the eyes of those who do not know him. Luke 16:31, "If they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded if someone is raised from the dead." John 1:45 says, "Philip found Nathanael and told him, 'We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and so did the prophets, Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth.'" You know, many people try to tell you who Jesus is. They will tell you he is one of many ways to get to heaven. They'll try to tell you that he was a good man, a great prophet, a good teacher, a rebel who defied the Roman authorities. But outside of the knowledge of Scripture, you will never have a proper understanding of who Jesus is. That's the one reason why it's so important to believe that all of the Scriptures is God's word. The Scriptures point to the truth, and they lead a person to a personal faith in Jesus. God prevented these two disciples from recognizing Jesus to convey, I think, a very deep truth. Even if we were to see, we might still not believe. We must trust the testimony of Scripture. Jesus tells us that we must have scriptural truth to understand who he is. Romans 10:17. That faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Outside of the word of God, there is no other reliable witness to who Jesus really is. The Scripture tells us this truth about Jesus. If we look in verse 30, it says, when he was at the table, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. The third point that I would make is that Jesus reveals himself. It was only as they had fellowship with Jesus that he disclosed himself to them. Jesus reveals himself to those whose eyes are open through the truth of his word. Now, it's not without significance that it was around a supper table that the disciples' eyes were open to who Jesus really was. After the resurrection, many appearances of Jesus were associated with table fellowship. It's true here, and in Luke, and in Acts, and in John, that in the intimacy of fellowship, Jesus reveals himself to us. His working in our lives becomes clearer, and his provision and protection comes into focus. But when they recognized him, he disappeared. Fellowship with Jesus was not going to depend on their ability to see him, but rather taking him at his word. And notice what their response was. Only when they recognized him, they couldn't help but share him. And that moves us to our fourth point, that Jesus moves us to share. When your eyes have been opened, family, you will want to have others' eyes opened as well. Can you imagine what excitement they must have felt? They said to each other, did our hearts not burn within us when he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? Their encounter with Jesus had been emotional. It had stirred them on the inside. It had moved their very hearts. And once they were moved, they couldn't help but share. Now picture this. It was that very hour, as dark as it was, as late as it was, as dangerous as the roads were, they left for Jerusalem. They gave witness that Jesus was risen, that he had walked with them, that he had talked with them, explained the scriptures to them, and broke bread at their table. All who have experienced the risen Savior should be moved with similar emotions. All who've come to know him should react the same way. We shouldn't be able to contain it. Jesus told Thomas in John 20:29, because you have seen me, you have believed. Those who believe without seeing are blessed. So as I wrap up this thought this morning, I have a couple of questions I want to ask you. Do you know Jesus? Have your eyes been open to who he is and what he's done for you? Do you know that he walks and he talks with you every day, even through this pandemic? Can you testify to his presence in your life? Do you have fellowship with him? Has your experience of him been so real, so moving, so life-changing that it has caused you to tell others about him? What will you do with Jesus this morning? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the truth of your word, and thank you that you reveal yourself through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, help us in these times to not look at our situation and our circumstances, because when we do that, we get lost and we get confused. Help us to look at you and see who you are and believe. And we say this in your Son's name. Amen. Thanks. Be blessed.